Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother John, and today we're going to dive into Zechariah 14 that talks about the day of the Lord, and we're going to connect this passage to the timing of the rapture and the events that are going to lead up to the rapture. So let's dive into Zechariah 14 verses 1 through 2 that says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Okay, so here there's a lot of important information in these verses, so I'm going to highlight some of them, and I'm going to break down what's going on, because Zechariah 14 is packed with end times prophecy. So Zechariah starts off with, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." Now, what does the day of the Lord have to do with the rapture? The day of the Lord is the day of God's wrath. That's the day that the wrath begins, according to the scriptures. Isaiah 13, verse 9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." So the prophet Isaiah connects the day of the Lord to the time of God's wrath, which we believers in Christ are not appointed to. So when the day of the Lord begins, that's when we go up. And the prophet Joel confirms this in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, where it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." And some will say that this event already happened in Acts chapter 2, when Peter talks about this on the day of Pentecost. However, we know for a biblical fact that this is a future event, because in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, at the sixth seal, we see this exact event occurring. The sun turns black, the moon turns to blood, and this is going to be a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 31, before the great day of his wrath begins. So we know that this is a future event. It's not a past event. And also in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "For it is a day of trouble and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts, in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains." Okay, so first off, notice here that they're talking about the day of trouble. And when they talk about the day of trouble, this is referring to the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the 3.5 years of great tribulation. And they also mention the day of treading down. And we know that Jerusalem is going to be tread underfoot for 42 months, which confirms that the Great Tribulation only lasts 3.5 years, which is the entire duration of the Great Tribulation. It's only 3.5 years. It's not 7 years. I know that most people have been deceived into believing that the Great Tribulation lasts 7 years, but this is a false doctrine, and it's based on false interpretations of Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 that makes no mention of a 7-year peace treaty or a breaking of any covenant in the middle of the week. These are all added interpretations that are false and unbiblical. However, these lies have been deeply ingrained into the minds of many Christians that have really bought into these lies. And this is what happens when you don't study the King James Bible word for word, but instead you accept the false interpretations of men that add their own doctrine and their own views to the scriptures, thus corrupting the word with their false interpretations and their false doctrines. So again, Isaiah 22 verse 5 says, "For it is the day of trouble and treading down and perplexity by the Lord God of hosts, in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains." Okay, so when does Jacob's trouble begin? When does this day of trouble begin? It begins when they are crying to the mountains. And when do we see them crying to the mountains? We see them crying to the mountains at the sixth seal, where it says, "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we see them crying out to the mountains on the day of trouble, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. This confirms that God's wrath begins at the sixth seal and not before it. Okay, because the day of trouble begins when they're crying out to the mountains, as Isaiah 22 verse 5 confirms. We get raptured on the same day that God's indignation and his wrath comes, according to the scriptures. For example, the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 26 verses 20 through 21 proves this by saying, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no longer cover her slain." So if you notice here, the same day that Jesus comes to punish the inhabitants of the earth is the same day that he is calling his children to enter into their chambers, which is the place that he prepared for us in his Father's house, and he is now coming to receive us unto himself at the sixth seal rapture. So again, we see God's children entering into their chambers when at the same time he comes to pour out his wrath and his indignation on the Christ-rejecting world. And not only that, but also Jesus teaches that the rapture and his wrath come on the same day, when he likens the rapture to the days of Noah and the days of Lot, which both were delivered on the same day that God's wrath came down. And the reason I'm saying this is because there are many Christians that have been deceived into believing that there's a gap period of time between the rapture and God's wrath, which is completely false and unbiblical. We see in the scriptures that God's wrath and the rapture occur simultaneously at the same time. When God comes to pour out the wrath, that is when we go up. So we are raptured before God's wrath. So there is no gap period of time between the rapture and God's wrath. This is completely false and it's unbiblical. And I just went over a few scriptures that prove this fact. Now we know that the sun was darkened when Jesus was on the cross, and the moon likely turned to blood. This sign that is in the sun and the moon is what started the church age, when Jesus was on the cross. And we see this same sign occurring at the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6, which is a future event. And I believe, just as it was a sign to begin the church age, I believe that the sixth seal sign is going to be the sign that is going to end the church age. So again, you see that the church age began with the sun turning black and the moon turning to blood when Jesus was on the cross. And it's likely going to end with that same sign when the sun turns black and the moon turns to blood at the sixth seal rapture. So it marks the beginning of the church age and the end of the church age with the same sign. Now back to Zechariah 14. So now that we know that the day of the Lord is the day of God's wrath and the day of the rapture, now we can look at the Bible and see what triggers the day of the Lord and what events lead up to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are the signs that lead up to the rapture? And we see in Zechariah, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Now notice that the day of the Lord starts off with Jerusalem being surrounded with armies. And we see this exact event occurring in Luke chapter 21 verses 20 through 24 that says, "When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." So if you notice that the days of vengeance begins when Jerusalem is surrounded with armies. And this is quite important because the days of vengeance marks God's wrath. This is the time when God is going to take vengeance upon his enemies. Okay, the people that rejected the gospel of Christ. So the day of vengeance is the time of Jacob's trouble, and it's also the time of God's wrath. And the days of vengeance begin when Jerusalem is surrounded with armies. This is the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. And when the Jews are fleeing from the housetops to the mountains, is as in the days of Lot, when Lot fled from Sodom to the mountains. And then what happened? Then sudden destruction came upon Sodom, and the Sodomites did not escape. And we know from Scripture that Jerusalem is spiritual Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Back to Luke 21. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Notice that this is the time of wrath upon Israel. It says, wrath upon this people. And when does this wrath begin for this people? When Jerusalem is surrounded with armies and the Jews are fleeing from the housetops to the mountains. It keeps telling us over and over, this is the sign to look for. This is the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. When you see these things, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We have to study Luke 17, and we have to really pick it apart and really focus on what Jesus wants us to see here in these scriptures, because he is telling us exactly what to look for, which is the sign of his coming, when the Son of Man is going to be revealed. And on that day, it's going to rain down fire from heaven at the first trumpet. And that happens after the sixth seal rapture. You see the church in heaven, the great multitude that no man can number, from all nations, languages, and tongues, standing before the throne of God. And Jesus wiping away all of our tears. We're not going to hunger anymore. We're not going to thirst anymore. We're receiving all of the promises that God told to Abraham and his children, that they were going to inherit the kingdom and they were going to be a blessed multitude. And this is exactly what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 7. And what happens after Revelation 7 is Revelation chapter 8, where we see God's wrath begin. We see that the trumpets start to blow. The church is in heaven before God's wrath comes down. So there is an order of events that are occurring here. First, you see the rapture. Then you see the seven trumpets and the seven vials. Okay, the seven trumpets and the seven vials are God's wrath. People get confused and they believe that the seals are God's wrath, which is false. This is a false doctrine. And you can obviously see it, because if you notice, the seals are not supernatural events. They're things that occur every day. Since the beginning have we've seen wars and rumors of wars. There's been pestilences and famines nonstop. I mean, just look at the world today. We have all of these seals going on today. Okay, and this has been going on for thousands of years, because these things have been occurring throughout history. In our lifetime, we see the seals today. Okay, there's famines today, there's wars today, there's Christians that are being martyred in different parts of the world today, there's persecution, etc., there's inequality. So these seals have been opened for a long time. We're waiting for the sixth seal to be opened. Once that sixth seal is opened, that is when we're going to get harpazoed. That's when we're going to get caught up. As soon as that sun turns dark and that moon turns to blood and the stars fall to the earth, that is when the Son of Man is going to come down from heaven to bring down his indignation on the Christ-rejecting world. And we, the church, are going to be called up. We're going to be harpazoed, taken out of the Great Tribulation as soon as it begins. Okay, and the Great Tribulation begins at the abomination of desolation. For Jesus says in Matthew 24, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then he goes on to say, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, no nor ever shall be. So the abomination of desolation is really what marks the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And what Paul was saying in 2 Thessalonians is that the man of sin must be revealed first, and then Christ is going to come to get us. So I believe that the son of perdition, the man of sin, is going to be revealed at the abomination of desolation. And when we see the abomination of desolation, that is when we are to look up and lift up our heads, because we know that our redemption is drawing near, because the Lord is going to come down. This abomination of desolation, I believe, is what is going to trigger God's wrath, because we know that God is a jealous God, and that when he sees Israel worshiping this man of sin and his image in his temple and him proclaiming himself to be God, God's wrath is going to come down and he's going to be furious. And we see foreshadows of this in the Old Testament. And this is when we're going to get called up. Immediately, once this Son of Man reveals himself, this is going to trigger God's wrath. The Jews are told to flee from the housetops at this time. And I believe this is when Christ is going to come. Back to Luke. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Okay, and this verse here connects us back to Zechariah 14 verse 2, where we see Israel is being led away captive, as it is written, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So half of Israel is going to become slaves. They're going to go into captivity, and many are going to be killed during this invasion when all of the nations gather against Jerusalem. And the women are going to be raped, and some will remain in the city. And we know that Jerusalem is going to be tread underfoot for 42 months, which is the entire duration of the Great Tribulation. And this is according to scripture. This is according to Revelation chapter 11 and Matthew 24. And the fact that a 7-year tribulation is not mentioned anywhere in the entire New Testament. So this is just made up false doctrine that is misinterpreted from Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. So we know that the Great Tribulation is only going to be 3.5 years, not 7. And this is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. This is going to be the worst time ever since the beginning of the world, okay? This is the Great Tribulation. It only lasts 3.5 years. If it lasted any longer, no flesh would survive, okay? There is no way that you're going to have the worst time in the history of the world last 7 years and expect there to be survivors. That is way too long. It can only be 3.5 years. Otherwise, no flesh would survive. And you see that believers are saved out of the Great Tribulation in Revelation chapter 7. Why are we saved out of the Great Tribulation? Because it is the time of God's wrath and his indignation and God's righteous judgment. And believers are not appointed to God's wrath. Okay? And you'll have pre-tribbers tell you that God's wrath begins when Jesus opens the scroll, because it's Jesus opening the scroll. And this is completely false doctrine. It's not what the Bible says. It's unbiblical. They like to add their false interpretations, their false doctrines, corrupting the scriptures. The Bible says that God's wrath, the great day of his wrath, begins at the sixth seal, not before it. This is why it's important for you to get your doctrine from the Bible and from literal statements in the Bible, not interpretations from men, but get it from a clear scripture, a clear statement from the Bible, and you will not go wrong. Okay, but pre-tribbers, they get their entire 7-year pre-tribulation theory from interpretations of men that are completely unbiblical. There are no clear statements in the scripture that support a 7-year pre-tribulation rapture. It is completely unbiblical. And I love my pre-trib brothers, don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is that their doctrine is unbiblical. It's not sound doctrine, it's the opposite. It's a corruption of the scriptures. And this is why the word wrath is so important, because we have God's promise in scripture that we are not appointed to the wrath. So it is extremely important, and it's also very simple to find the rapture in the book of Revelation, because all we have to do is search for the word wrath. Okay, and the first time that the word wrath is mentioned in Revelation is at the sixth seal rapture. And it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" So we see here that this is the time that God's wrath begins. That means that this is also the time that we get raptured. And that's exactly what we see in the scriptures. We see right after the wrath begins, we see a great multitude in heaven that no man can count, from all nations and tongues and languages, right before the throne of God, that just suddenly appear in the twinkling of an eye, as though we were just caught up to God's throne, harpazoed, caught up to heaven. This is the sixth seal rapture, and we have the promise from God that we are not appointed to his wrath. We do not have the promise that we're not appointed when Jesus opens the seal. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. That's unbiblical. Okay, it says we're not appointed to God's wrath. You have to let the scriptures interpret the scripture, and you have to let the Bible tell you when God's wrath begins. You can't just make things up. Okay, you can't just say that God's wrath begins when Jesus opens the scroll, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So we can rest assured that we get raptured at the sixth seal, because that is when God's wrath begins. And just before God's wrath comes down, that is when we go up, as it is written by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 20 through 21. And what leads up to that day, we see in Zechariah 14 that Jerusalem being surrounded with armies is what triggers the day of the Lord. For it says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half the city is going to go forth into captivity, the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So this part of Zechariah is about the start of the day of the Lord, when Jerusalem is going to be surrounded with armies, and the city will be taken, the women raped, half the city is going to go into captivity. Back to Zechariah 14. Then, okay, notice that it's saying then. Then means afterwards. It means after. And after what? After the 3.5 year great tribulation. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Okay, now here in verse 3, Jesus is talking about his third coming at the end of the great tribulation. Okay, and I say his third coming because if we count his first coming as being 2,000 years ago, and then his second coming at the sixth seal rapture, then his third and his final coming is going to be to set up his kingdom on the earth, where he will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And yes, there are multiple comings in the book of Revelation. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see that Jesus comes more than one time to the earth. First time that Jesus comes is at the sixth seal rapture, where he comes on a cloud and every eye is going to see him. And the Lamb is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he comes out of his place to bring his wrath and his indignation on the Christ-rejecting world. While at the same time, we get called into our chambers. This is the pre-wrath rapture. And then after the 3.5 years of great tribulation, he comes on a white horse for the final battle of Armageddon. So that would be his third coming. So Jesus comes at least twice during the Great Tribulation. First, it's to bring his wrath. Then 3.5 years later at the end of his wrath. So there are multiple comings of Jesus in the book of Revelation. And I encourage all of you, if any of you have been deceived into believing in a 7-year pre-tribulation rapture, to question this doctrine. Okay, to study for yourselves and to see if this 7-year tribulation is even in the Bible, because I have done this for myself, and I can tell you that this 7-year pre-tribulation theory is completely unbiblical. There are no clear statements of scripture that support this false doctrine anywhere in the Bible. Believers are not appointed to God's wrath. It doesn't say that believers are not appointed to tribulation. Jesus tells us in this world, "You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the wrath only lasts 3.5 years, not 7 years. As pre-tribbers claim, but they cannot back up with any clear scripture. They only have false types and shadows in the Old Testament that they always misinterpret, and then they use Daniel 9:27, which is another false interpretation, to fit their false narrative and their false doctrine. For example, they'll say that the Antichrist makes a 7-year peace treaty and then breaks the covenant in the middle of the week, when the devil has never made one covenant in the entire Bible. All of a sudden, he makes a covenant, and then he breaks the covenant in the middle of the week, when first of all, only God makes covenants in the Bible. Then pre-tribbers say, well, it can't be God because God doesn't break any covenants. Well, if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, in the King James, it doesn't mention anywhere about breaking any covenant in the middle of the week, nor does it mention anything about the Antichrist or a 7-year peace treaty. These are things that people are adding into the Bible. They're bringing in all of their preconceived doctrine into the scriptures as though it is written, and it's not. It's a false doctrine. They just have it so deeply ingrained in their brain that they believe that it's scripture when it's not. It's just the interpretations of men. Because if you read the King James Bible, again, it doesn't say this anywhere. There is no 7-year peace treaty. There is no breaking of a covenant in the middle of the week. These are all false interpretations of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Okay, so what he's doing is he making a covenant? Is he making a 7-year peace deal? No, it says he's confirming a covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Does it say anywhere here that he's breaking a covenant in the middle of the week? No. It says in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even into the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now tell me here, where does it say anything about a 7-year peace treaty or breaking a covenant in the middle of the week? It does not. They're adding things to the scripture that are not there. And not only that, but if this is speaking of the Antichrist, why would he make it desolate for the overspreading of abominations? It makes absolutely no sense. It's going to be the man of sin that is causing the abominations. He's not going to make it desolate because of the overspreading of abominations. He's going to encourage the abominations. He's going to be the one committing the abominations. So obviously, this is not talking about the Antichrist. This is a misinterpretation from the 7-year pre-tribbers. And not only that, but Isaiah 13 verse 9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." So here we see that it's not the Antichrist that is causing the desolation. It is God that causes the desolation. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate." So the desolation is caused by God. This is not the Antichrist that is making it desolate for the overspreading of abominations. So clearly this scripture is talking about God and not the Antichrist. The Antichrist does not confirm covenants. Okay, only God confirms covenants. The covenant of many is God's covenant. And Daniel chapter 12 verse 11 confirms this when it says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh it desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now, if you notice, it says that it is the abomination that makes it desolate. Okay, so when the man of sin, the son of perdition, sets up the image in God's holy place, this is the abomination that is going to trigger God's wrath. And this is when God is going to come. And this is when Isaiah verse 13, 9 through 11 is going to be fulfilled, that says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Okay, so when does this happen? It happens at the cosmic disturbance that happens at the sixth seal. This is when the day of the Lord begins, and it is God that is causing his wrath and his fierce anger to lay the land desolate. Okay, so the desolation comes from God. So Daniel 9:27 is not referring to the Antichrist. It is referring to Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist does not confirm covenants. And this is exactly how those that believe in a seven-year pre-tribulation have been deceived. They have bought into the lies of the interpretations of men instead of studying the Word of God alone for themselves. And also, when you study, you have to use a good Bible translation. And one of the best and most accurate Bible translations is the King James Bible. Because when it comes to Bible prophecy, it is important that we get the most accurate translation so that we are not deceived. Because some translations add their own interpretations and their own views into their translations. And for this reason, we want to make sure that we're using a very good translation. And I personally like to use the King James. I'll also use the Geneva Bible. I'll also use some older Bibles as well. Most of the time, it's usually the King James. And that's all for now. I'm going to go ahead and end with the gospel. That is that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And that life is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day for our justification, meaning that if we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, trusting that he died for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and we believe that he rose from the dead, then we will be saved, because the word of God cannot lie, and scripture tells us that whosoever believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And we will not come into condemnation, but have already passed from death onto life. Remember that the most important thing is that we love one another, because love fulfills all of the law and the prophets. Until next time, God willing, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you all, and Maranatha.